At one point, my dad brought home dinners, and I opened it up, and in each meal kit was 5 Little Debbie cakes. And I was just like, under no circumstance do we need 5 Little Debbie cakes with a lunch. And how many people are pre-diabetic that are now eating 5 Little Debbie cakes a day? This might be the thing that pushes them to be diabetic, honestly. My name is Willa Johnson. I'm originally from McRoberts, Kentucky. Recently moved to Jenkins, Kentucky. And I'm the director of films at Appleshaw. So when the flood was hitting, like, my mom called and told me to wake up. It was like 2:30. I had just fallen asleep at 2. And I had an air conditioner going upstairs, so I couldn't hear a whole lot other than the rain. And I looked outside, and I live on a main highway, and between me and the post office was like a river. And I was like, I can't believe this. Like, and then I went to the neighbor's side of the house and was like texting them and telling them to wake up. And they said, turn off your heat pump. It's up around your heat pump. And I just, like, I have seen floods. I have never dreamed it would get that high. I just, and still even seeing it that high, wasn't processing that it could be in my house. And so I went to the top of the steps to go turn off the heat pump. And when I did, a pair of my shoes went floating by in front of me. And just sheer panic. Couldn't call 911. Couldn't call out. And then our cell phones went down on top of it. So it was just complete isolation after that. I was set to purchase my first home the next day. Had a U-Haul rented. And my son, we went to bed that night, and I laid out a dress and a nice outfit for him because we were going to sign on my first home the next day, and I was just so proud that I was able to do this for him. And at 3:30 in the morning, we were being evacuated out of the home by the sheriff. And so we left in the middle of the night and walked to my parents' house, who lived up the road on a hillside. And I put him back to bed, and we watched the second flood hit. That was much worse, and the home took about almost 3 feet of water the second time. They were supposed to give 3 more inches of rain the next night, and my parents' house was safe, but it's on a hillside, like not flat on a hillside, like on a hillside. And there was mudslides and landslides everywhere, and the main bridge to our town was gone, and there was a partial bridge that was left but was getting ready to be closed. And before they could shut it down, we left over that bridge, which was not smart, not safe.
But that was the only way out?
Yeah, it was the only way out. But we knew this house that I had purchased, which I didn't get to close on, but had a key to, was up on a hill and dry and safe. And so we came here and slept on floors for a few nights. But we hadn't moved into this house yet. So there was no water. There was no food. You know, a lot of the stores had gotten flooded. So you couldn't even go purchase anything. So having access to places that have been providing meals has been crucial. But it's also been a little bit of an experience on what you get offered. The first few days was hot dogs, lots and lots and lots of hot dogs. People would drive by in trucks and like hand them out to you while you were cleaning up the house. And at one point we ended up with like extra bags of hot dogs. And so as I was leaving, I saw a neighbor outside and slowed down. I was like, do y'all need hot dogs? And she's like, we were about to ask you the same thing. And, so everybody got really over hot dogs really quickly. But at one point, my dad brought home dinners, and I can't remember what group made it. And I opened it up, and in each meal kit was 5 Little Debbie cakes. And I was just like, under no circumstance do we need 5 Little Debbie cakes with a lunch. And for me, like, I'm pre-diabetic, but I also know I'm pre-diabetic and I'm a little bit more careful. My dad is very much diabetic and is 75 and is not as careful as he should be. And so every time he gets one of these meal kits, I'm just like, one day I finally was just like, everyone stop what you're doing. I'm going to buy. And it was like I went and bought a lot of canned vegetables, but I was like, I'm just making soup. Like, we're just going to eat a soup and make some sandwiches with it. And so even that felt like such a decadent meal because it was hot, because it was home cooked, because it had vegetables in it. A lot of people lost their first floors, and so that's where your kitchen is, or they lost, like my parents didn't lose anything in their house, but they lost electricity and water for a week. And so the things they had went bad and they lost all of that. And then when you do get water, the water is on bull water advisory. And so it's just, it's incredibly layered in, like, it's not that people aren't wanting to eat vegetables. Everyone is so, I mean, they're working 13, 14 hour days. Everyone is so tired. If you're not working on your own property, you're helping your neighbor. If you're not helping your neighbor, you're probably out delivering the meals that are being made at one of these centers. And I would say, like, I've also seen a lot of local places step up when they saw that people were really getting burnt out on hot dogs and hamburgers, because that's the easiest thing to do is set up a grill. And that's what we keep saying, like, we appreciate it. We'll eat it if we're really busy and we need something to eat. But we're really tired of them too. And so some places like the Jenkins American Legion are like cooking home cooked, more rounded meals to deliver out. And those have been really, really healing in a way, to just slow down and one, taste the food you're eating. Because for days, I feel like I didn't taste anything. You were just eating in such a hurry, or your phone was going nonstop, or you had somewhere to go, so you were eating on the run. And then we found the American Legion, which I will say has been my bright shining spot in all of this, is that a couple days a week we go into a smoky bar with women who call you sis or baby, and they go out back and like grab meatloaf and peas and carrots and bring it out to you. Or I just keep laughing. I'm like, I found honky tonk angels in the middle of all of this. For me personally, I'm pre-diabetic and was working really hard to get under control. Then the pandemic hit and I was very, very worried about it because I was pre-diabetic. I had PCOS. I have a history of pneumonia. I get pneumonia very easy. And I'm a single mom. So, and I have parents who are elderly who I help take care of, and they were very high risk. And so I just put my life on hold for a year and a half, just completely isolated. And so it was really hard emotionally to go through. So that really impacted my eating a little bit there, just because it was like emotional isolation, boredom, not going in grocery stores as much to pick out the stuff. And then we actually got COVID and had to have the IV infusion and was pretty sick, but then faced long COVID symptoms for like 8 months. It was just extreme fatigue. And so that really impacted, like, I just didn't want to cook. I didn't have the energy to cook. And so I was just really starting to feel some normalcy when all of this hit.
Could you talk a little sort of about that? Because I know you in the past have done some meal planning and like...
Mm-hmm. I had really gotten lax on the meal planning. But a couple things we were doing was HelloFresh meal kits. That way I was like making sure we had some vegetables every week. And we kept a lot of fruit at the house and ate a lot of fruit and stuff. That doesn't happen at all now. Like, I keep buying fruit, but we're just on the run all the time, that I don't slow down enough to wash it and store it and make sure it's safe to eat. And so we just keep grabbing snacks on the go. But I think for the most part, I still have enough presence of mind to sort of limit the intake of what I'm having that would raise my blood sugar. But I definitely, soda has been the hard part for me. That has always been the hardest thing for me. It's very much a comfort. In college when I had like very little money, I would prioritize buying a case of Coke over food. I won't buy it to have at the house right now. I'm only drinking the water that's been donated to us. But as soon as I go down the road, if I go anywhere and they're like, you want a Pepsi or a Coke? I'm like, yeah, I want that. Because it really does do this weird thing where I'm like, I imagine it's like smoking a cigarette. Where like as soon as you take a drink, you're like, okay, I feel a little bit better now. And so that's probably been the hardest thing for me to like try to make sure I limit. The thing we don't want to talk about is the really poor live off the beaten path. Like, there were people who didn't have a lot of food access before the flood, and now they're really out of the way to get to. The gardens are ruined, and then their vehicles are ruined. They're homeless. If they're not homeless, they're in unsafe conditions, or they don't have the roads they need to get where they need to get. And then add on top of that inflation. And they were already facing issues with being able to afford the groceries. It is the perfect storm for a really big disaster facing this region. And the rate of diabetics in this region is extremely high. And like, these people are on their feet day after day, hour after hour. And it's just not healthy for them right now. So, and how many people are pre-diabetic that are now eating 5 little Debbie cakes a day? This might be the thing that pushes them to be diabetic, honestly. Like, there are a lot of people whose bodies were giving warning signs before. The inability to listen to your body right now is going to have repercussions. And I just keep thinking, like, I went through a flood that I had to evacuate when I was in the 6th grade from a silt pond that broke in the holler I lived in. And I'm like, wow, you know, no one told us about mold then. And we moved back into the double wide that got flooded underneath it. And like, is that why I get pneumonia every single winter? Like, what are we going to learn from this go round? And like, how many years does this take off? And it's just like a very surreal realization to realize how much these will impact us for years to come. Walking up the road in the middle of the night, carrying him. Like, I remember shaking and just, I mean, I was just walking by tree limbs and debris and water, and he was in his t-shirt and underwear clinging on to me. And I think for me, I block it out as like, it was my trauma. Like, I can block it out. But when he remembers it, when he talks about it, that's really hard. And like, his trucks got pushed together the other day, and I said, oh, did your trucks wreck? And he said, no, the flood did that. He just brings it up in really small ways, but the hardest part is when it rains, when it storms, which keeps doing. I feel really nervous when that happens. He falls apart. And so I've been trying to think of ways he can help and be supportive. And so one of the things I'm hoping to do is be able to cook and deliver meals. I won't be able to do it on a large scale, but to deliver meals to people I know once these daily meal stops slow down. Because I just feel so incredibly lucky that I had an aunt and two cousins whose homes were all three picked up and smashed into each other. Yes, I lost things. Yes, it hurts. But I'm somewhere new and safe and dry. And I just feel like I need to use this moment to give back as much as I can. So my hope is to do it through meals if I can. Like, hope they like vegetables. They might be getting a vegetarian lasagna.
Again, that was Willa Johnson of Letcher County. For more stories of dealing with blood sugar and trying to prevent type 2 in East Kentucky, check out our project website, PreventDiabetesEKY.org.